Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years' experience in the technology and aviation industries. We'd like to welcome Martin Irving, longtime radio control model scale builder extraordinaire with the Kingston Radio Control Model Airplane Club. I'd like to welcome Martin to Plane Talk. How are you, Martin?
I'm just fine, thanks, Phil. I've not done one of these before, so it'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
Oh, well, there's a little bit of editing while we do this. So when did you start building model airplanes?
I did plastic models as a kid, but I got into flying models when I got to high school, actually. I ran into Brian, and there was two or three of us in the same classroom, and they introduced me to flying models, and so that would have been, I would have been 13 or 14 years old. And got into radio control about 4 years later, and haven't looked back since.
What was your first RC model?
First RC model, I guess that was a foam Ranger 42 by Carl Goldberg. It was powered by an OS-15. It would have been about a 4 foot wingspan. I'm guessing somewhere around about 3.5 or 4 pounds.
What radio was in it?
Well, back then we'd moved out of the old Reed system, so they were the early days of proportional control. I had a Futaba, what would we call like a Futaba S700. It was replaced a little while later with a 710, but it was one of the early ones.
No kidding. So you must have saved a lot of your milk money to afford this stuff.
Yeah, my first job, my first real paying job, when I was 17, I think I earned $423 over the whole summer. I spent $200 on a bike and about $175 on the radio, and I got it used. The fellow who sold it threw in the engine and the airplane. If I'd been buying the radio new, it would have been about $350 in 1972 dollars.
No kidding. So that would have been like 200 hours, 3 months of part-time work.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
My first RC airplane was a Headmaster from Top Flight.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember...
That's a good kit, those.
Yeah, they were great kits. I remember hanging out at Lloyd Shale's Hobby Supplies, drooling over the model airplanes, and... Certainly the Futaba radio control hardware.
Yeah, I'm sure we were a pain to him. We're in there and drooling and oogling and, can I have a look at that? Can I open this box?
Box, exactly. Pull the plans out. And Lloyd was such a gentleman to really harness the...
He understood. He was watering seeds.
He certainly was. And Lloyd... lived not too far from me, and being, you know, 15 at the time and no driver's license, no car, no nothing, the field in the middle of nowhere, Lloyd was very kind enough to drive me to watch him fly model airplanes. And I think, as you said, he cultivated the youth to allow us to do bigger and better things.
I think he had fond memories of when he was a kid. The help that he got, but also that sense of discovery, that sense of wonder, I suppose, with model airplanes. He was a businessman too, but I think it was more than just that. I think he really enjoyed seeing what people built, what people accomplished. We had him out here at our field about a week and a half ago.
No kidding. So how was Lloyd?
He's old. he's pretty frail. He came out with a personal worker, but he watched and he certainly appreciated what was going on.
Yeah, certainly I have very fond memories of Lloyd, and as with many of the Kingston RC Model Airplane Club members, my memories really take me back to the 70s, and I still remember people from the 70s, not fast forward to, you know, to 2020.
Yeah. Right? Someone looked really old. Not us, of course.
No, of course not. You look very good, Martin. So what? Tell everybody what you brought to the flying field today.
Today, I've got an electric-powered Newport 17. It's my own design. It's to quarter scale, so it's a quarter the size of the real airplane. I'd like flying it as much because it's my own design as anything else. I find my personal draw to the hobby is the creativity part, the research and building of scale airplanes. And I much prefer to fly my own airplane that I've designed and built as opposed to something that someone else has designed.
And having done this for a very long time, Martin, share your experiences flying at Old Rhinebeck.
Oh, Old Rhinebeck. We started going there back in the mid-70s, I guess. The Old Rhinebeck Aerodrome back then, Cole Palin was still alive, and it was, shall we say, not FAA approved all the time. Some of the flying was pretty intimate, personal, flying in, you know, fairly close and that sort of stuff. But the emphasis very much was on keeping the old planes flying and having fun. Cole had a terrific sense of humor, and the camaraderie that seemed to be engendered, not just that weekend, but generally when you talk to the people who worked there, was really quite remarkable. I'm really glad to see that it's continued well past his death, which was back sometime in the 90s. Once a year, modelers get together there, and we have a contest, and people come from all over, literally all over the world. Not very often they're coming from Europe, but there's usually at least a few European visitors every year. It's changed over the years, as most things have, but it's still a terrific weekend. We very much missed it this year with the COVID shutdown. It was a smart thing to do, but still, it's too bad that it had to happen.
That's like completely annoying, COVID-19.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Oh, I've not gone to most of the shows and events that I would have done in the past.
Well, I certainly remember, the RC Jamboree at Old Rhinebeck, and very fondly camping, fireside chats with a lot of the Kingston folks, but also our friends from Connecticut, Sarah, Pennsylvania, New York State, and as you said, became a very interesting family.
We get camping up on the hill, and every year there was somebody new there that hadn't been there before, and the songs and the stories would go on late into the night, and then during the day, all kinds of events. Our club, the Kingston Club, did particularly well in an event called Combat, which saw two airplanes, scale airplanes, flying, imitating World War I combat as best we could imagine, right over the airfield. And a couple of the guys in our club, Roly Simonson and Brian Perkins, did very well over the years, frequently winning that event.
I had an opportunity to get third in team combat.
Oh, did you?
I did. Flying.
Who were you flying with?
Flying with Mark.
Okay. Yeah.
And flying my SOP with 1.5
strutter. Yes, I remember
right.
That.
Cool little airplane.
It was a nice flying little airplane.
Yeah, it did the job. And I think that, that our flying club really created outstanding RC pilots, and bringing scale and outstanding skills, pilot airmanship skills together created an advantage that I think the club had over other pilots. And as you said, Brian and Rolly consistently getting first, second, you know, bringing hardware home year after year.
I think back then, our field was much more tree-surrounded than it is now. And that is, I mean, you learn how to fly around trees. It's that or you're climbing. So, I suppose it was sometimes a bit of school of hard knocks, but
And then the good old days of winter flying out of St. Lawrence College's parking lot.
I must say, it was never my favorite. I winter fly out of a sense of obligation rather than enjoyment.
Yeah, I seem to remember we would, go out for a flight and within 5 minutes back in Rolly's heated van, enjoying hot chocolate.
Yeah, it was, we could do it, and young and foolish, and I'm surprised that we were able to get the engines to go as well as we did, seeing as they're alcohol-based, so as soon as you spilled any fuel on your fingers, they immediately froze up with any kind of cold breeze.
Or you get the dreaded backfire, and prop comes back, smacks your finger.
Smacks your already frozen finger.
Exactly.
It does hurt, yeah.
It did.
So certainly the Kingston Club's flying field has come a long way.
Oh, very much so.
Since those days in the 70s.
So. Yeah.
The facilities here, bar none.
Yeah. No,
it's tremendous.
All things considered, we've done very well here. It's a good club, it's a strong club, one of the most active clubs in the country, and so far we've been able to avoid some of the politics that I hear other clubs complaining about. Everybody's here, essentially we're here to fly toy airplanes. Let's not get too carried away with seriousness.
Well, to your point, I've flown with a variety of clubs in the Greater Toronto area, and yes, lots of politics, but also postage stamp flying fields as compared to the Kingston flying field.
Well, so, we started off with a pretty small one, but it's
a lot of sweat and tears.
Over the years, yes.
Effort.
Yeah. We've been a club, I think we've been a club now for over 50 years.
Unbelievable.
That's only 1970. Closer to 60 years, because they started in the mid-60s. The whole thing was cut out of scrubland.
It's amazing. I recall being part of the work parties to get rid of the rocks and, brush and flatten the place down.
Yeah. A lot of hard labor.
No doubt. But enjoyable. It was
fun.
And
everybody who was working on it was working towards a purpose because they knew it was going to improve our flying site.
Absolutely. So any final words for our audience?
What would you like to hear?
What are you working on next?
Right now I'm working on a 1/3 scale model of a Thomas Morse S4B. It's a Tommy Scout. A lot of people will know that. It's a somewhat Sopwith-ish looking airplane. The last little while, Brian and I have really moved into the third scale airplane. So wingspans are running around about 9 feet.
Wow, that's huge.
And flying weights are about 40 pounds.
Wow, what's in it for power?
I've got a 100cc engine. It's an opposed twin, in part because they're smooth. It's also got lots of power. I'd say probably over the last, 5-7 years, I guess, we've moved into a lot of 1/3 scale airplanes just because the realism that they fly with is really quite remarkable compared to the smaller airplanes that kind of buzz around. Big planes have got a real presence.
It looks more like the original aircraft than a overpowered Balsawood airplane.
And if you like to build things, if you like to do details at that size, putting in things like cockpit detail or engine detail is relatively easy. I mean, I can put both my hands into the cockpit of the Thomas Morse. Whereas, you know, 40 years ago when we were building airplanes, we had cockpit openings that were about 3 inches across.
A lot of those were much different days than,
yes, they were.
Than now, which is probably a little bit about not only the time, but at our age and our, you know, summer job income levels.
Yeah. You know, and relative prices. I mean, you can buy a good radio now for $300. Now, how much would that have been in 1972?
That was still $350 for a good radio, but in 1970.
And you'd have to...
Minimum, just for the audience, minimum wage at that time was like $3.50.
That much? it was pretty low. The reliability of radios is very much higher now. And you can start flying with what we call ARFs, almost ready to fly airplanes, that come out of the box and only require a few hours to get ready to fly. Whereas back in the day, we would spend all winter building one airplane, and if you crashed it, you didn't fly again until you'd repaired it. On the other hand, because we built it, the repairs were, we knew what to do.
Oh, different level of skill back then.
Different type of hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different type of hobby.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for sharing some of your thoughts here at Plane Talk.
Nice to see you come down for the weekend. Well, for the day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.